Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys and gals, welcome to Backyard Steakout Presents. I'm your host, James W.
And this is your co-host, Chef Linda.
Hey Linda, how you doing?
Hey James, good morning. Good morning to you. I'm doing good here in sunny California. We have a special guest today.
I know it. Everybody's been kind of waiting for this one, so finally got him on here. Hey, Tala, there?
I'm here, yeah, I hear you.
So you have a recipe or a little something you want to share with us today, right?
Yeah, we do. I mean, whatever you guys want. I mean, I'm here to help out and discuss things and cooking and cast iron and how we all started and anything that you guys want.
Well, what's your favorite recipe?
I like hamburgers.
Hamburgers, that's simple.
That's pretty tough, right, to make?
Yeah. Do you say you have a favorite recipe other than hamburgers?
Yeah, actually, I do. One of the most popular foods, you all know that I came from Lebanon. I grew up in Lebanon. I was born in Lebanon. And I've been in Phoenix for the last 30 years or so. Actually, 30 years this month. In a couple of weeks, I'll be in Phoenix exactly 30 years. One of the most famous recipes in Lebanon, or even in Eastern Mediterranean, is what's called kefta. Kefta is ground beef and mixed with minced parsley and onion. And they add some spices, what they call the Lebanese seven spice, which is made of black pepper and allspice. Pretty much it smells, it's really aromatic spice and salt. And you mix it up and you lay it in a tray, put it in the oven a little bit for maybe 20 minutes. Let it cook at 350, 345. I mean, and then you cut it to squares, and you add some sliced potatoes and tomatoes, and you also add tomato sauce, some lemon juice, and cook it for about 45 minutes to 1 hour, and you take it out and serve it to the guests that you're having. It's very much enjoyed about on a weekly basis. And this kefta, I think I have posted in one of the posts in Castellan Gypsies at one time. And if anybody wants to see the recipe again and photos of it, I'll be more than happy to remake it for everybody and step by step and photos to explain how pretty much it's enjoyed and it's made. This is one of the things that we do on regular basis, actually, and you can also, instead of baking it, you can use the meat mixture and grill it. Actually, it tastes very good grilled. Some people make it on shish kebabs. Some people form it into like hamburgers and serve it on hamburger buns, and it's really, really very good way to cook the ground beef. Also, some people make it with lamb, and they mix lamb and beef at the same time. And here in the States, lamb is really not very popular like it is back east, and most people make it with the ground beef pretty much. I like it on the grill too, more than the baked version of it. So there's many ways of cooking that kefta, and it's enjoyed pretty much at parties, weddings, and at all occasions.
Now, have you ever mixed the ground beef with the lamb?
It's very, yeah. The lamb actually gives it gives the beef more flavor. It has more fat content than the beef does. It, you know, and that really enhances the flavor of the chicken. It's a good idea to mix it maybe like 50-50 ratio, beef and lamb, and that even makes it much tastier than just beef.
Now that lamb, in comparison to hamburger and pork and things like, you know, what does lamb flavor taste like? Is there anything you can compare that to?
Lamb really is very distinct than any meats out there. It doesn't taste anything like goat or beef. Beef is very mild flavored, but lamb is really, it has like a little bit stronger taste. Some people don't even like lamb. When you cook lamb in stews, the flavor is totally different than when you bake it or when you grill it. A lot of people don't like lamb, mostly the women. I've seen a lot of women here in Phoenix, that's when I made it, they don't really like lamb. I don't know why, but in the Middle East and Eastern Mediterranean and Europe, a lot of people actually eat a lot of lamb, more lamb than they do in the States here. We don't eat a lot of goats in Lebanon, but lamb, chicken, and beef are the most popular meats.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So, but here, I mean, there's a lot of different kinds of lamb, too. You know, not all of them are created equal. The one that's the most popular lamb in the Mediterranean is the one with the fat tail. Fat tail is a very popular type of sheep, actually. Not the one with the skinny tail that they have in Europe. And that actually originated in North Africa. The breed, it has a fat tail because in Africa, you know, they experience a lot of famine. And when the sheep go on for weeks without finding feed, they start feeding on their, surviving on their, on the fat of the tail, actually. And that's how... the fat in the tail is really it's delicacy, actually. Some people eat it raw, actually, in the Eastern Mediterranean. When they slaughter the sheep, they take the fat from the tail and they chop it to small pieces and they eat it raw. But with the food, it really enhances the flavor of the meat, too. And that's not unusual for people to eat the fat. It's like, it really tastes like butter. It smells like butter if you touch it, and it really, it has a very distinct taste to it. But it's very hard to find here in the States. Very, very difficult to find that type of lamb in the States.
I've heard of lamb's tail.
Yeah, this is a fat tail, actually. It's totally
fat
different
tail.
Than yeah, fat tail. It's totally different than the normal lamb sheep that we see here in the States. And that's only found in North Africa, Middle East, and Turkey. I believe Turkey has big farms that they raise it and they sell it throughout the region, in Europe as well.
Very interesting.
So that's one of the things, you know, that most people eat here. People get upset because they can't find that kind of lamb. But we have to do what we can here, pretty much. But lamb is really different. Then the taste of lamb is totally different than all meats that you would ever see. It really has, it depends on how you cook it, and it tastes differently every time you cook it in different ways. The best way I like it is grilled, actually. Hamburgers, I mean, like grounded and grilled on charcoals. And not, I don't like it in stews. In stews, the flavor gets very strong, and it's not my favorite thing. That's why a lot of people don't like it, because it really has to be prepared the right way. It's almost the same as with venison. I mean, I like venison, but not when it's gamey. You know, when it's gamey, it doesn't taste the same. I mean, I've eaten venison many times, but it depends on where the deer has been feeding on. You know, the ones we have in Arizona, the deer, they don't taste the same as the ones in Florida or in the Midwest. Because what they feed on here is brush. We don't have corn fields. We don't have grasses like in the Midwest. So the deer, the venison in Arizona doesn't taste the same as the one that comes from the Midwest or the ones that came from James's backyard, you know. I would love to get my hands on one of those. and James is that, you know, I see pictures, but, oh, man, every time I see one, I'm, like, drooling, you know?
I had deer meat a couple of times while I was in West Virginia.
I bet you have, yeah. Because in the East, in Eastern United States and the Midwest, the deers are a nuisance, you know. They're just, they destroy properties, and there's so many of them. I mean, here in Arizona, it's very hard to go deer hunting. You have to get drawn like the lottery, and you're only allowed to hunt one. You can't hunt any does. Those are illegal to hunt in Arizona because they're not plentiful like they are back east and the Midwest.
Right.
But anyway, that's the difference, you know, between them and venison. But they taste different, but they do have that gamey taste a little bit. It all depends on what the animal has been feeding on, and what and how you cook it too.
Right. I've always fixed a like not always, but sometimes I put a potato in with my meat to take the wild game taste out.
Absolutely, yeah, that really helps too. Any meat I found, I've eaten a lot of different meats. I've eaten even mountain lion, to be honest with you. It's one of the tastiest meats I've ever had. And that was, it's something I didn't hunt. One of the friends in Nevada about 4 or 5 years ago offered it to me. He hunted it with a bow and arrow. And, oh, man, I tell you, it's so tasty. But we did it, we cooked it over open fire too, so that may have changed the taste of it. But it all depends on, you know, I've eaten black bear recently. It really tasted better than filet mignon. It's very dark meat. I didn't eat much of it, just a little piece, and I really love that too. We can hunt black bears in Arizona. I did one time and I almost got attacked by one because my rifle misfired on me. And that was the last time I've ever tried bear hunting.
Right.
That was about 20 years ago.
So you have to say that the ground beef is your favorite to cook in cast iron?
Yeah, absolutely. I love ground beef. And you know, beef in general, that's my favorite. That's pretty much what I eat mostly. Chicken and beef are my two favorite meats. Fish, you know, I like fish as well, but it's not plentiful here in Arizona. I live in the desert. I can't go fishing in lakes and stuff, but I'm not a big on fishing. I'm more of a hunting person than fishing. I think fishing is for retired people like James, and hunting is for people that like to walk. Get attacked by big animals, you know.
Yeah, we go for the fish and alligator down here.
Yeah, we're talking different kind of fishing. I haven't tried alligator meat yet. That's something I would like to try.
Yeah, if I figure out a way to ship that to you and I could get it, I'd send you that and have you try it.
I've had snake meat many times here since I moved to Arizona. I've been encountered by many snakes. Rattlesnakes, actually. They're scary. I'm scared of rattlesnakes, but they seem to like me so much. Every time I'm going hunting quail or something, I always find one under my feet, you know. That scares the hell out of me, but it really is. The meat, pretty much people ask me, or if you ask someone, what does snake meat taste like? They tell you it tastes like chicken. Everyone says it tastes like chicken. It really doesn't taste like chicken. And the closest I could get to describe it, you know, would be like this. If you get a chicken, okay, like a rooster, and mate it with the fish, and the offspring is what a snake tastes like. You know what I mean? It really does. It tastes like something between chicken and fish. More like frog, actually. It really is the closest to a snake meat testing is the frog. I've
frog
had
legs.
Frogs,
I've,
you know, several
I
times.
I love frog legs.
And pretty much that's what the snake tastes like. It doesn't have the same texture as the frog. The frog has the texture of a chicken. But the taste of the frog is, I think, the closest to what a rattlesnake tastes like. it doesn't taste like chicken. It may look like chicken when you cook it in chicken nuggets and stuff, but it really doesn't taste like chicken.
Well, what's the worst thing that you've ever fixed in a cast iron?
Honestly, I haven't. I'm new to cast iron, even though I started cast iron and gypsies, and that was because you guys know the story behind it. But,
right.
I've never ruined anything in cast iron other than my fingers once in a while. It burns on my fingers, and nothing major. I never dropped the cast iron skills or anything like that because I'm always careful not to. The best thing I like in cast iron that I cooked in is the pizza. When you bake a pizza in the cast iron skillet, it's really, really, you never go back to eating pizza in the stores or like in pizza baked otherwise. Yeah. The pizza baked in the cast iron skillet is really the ultimate. If you haven't tried it, I think you should. But as far as the worst thing, I never had any experience with something that went bad with cast iron. And again, I'm like about a year in cast iron cooking. I started last May, and I don't have the experience as much as most of you do. You just grew up on it. I didn't grow up on cast iron. I never used cast iron prior to the last year. But now I'm hooked. I'm way over my head with cast iron items in my house. People look at me and they think I'm crazy. I keep buying this stuff every week. I go to stores and purchase things I don't need. It's just becoming an addiction for me. And honestly, all you need when you cook with cast iron is a skillet and a Dutch oven. If you have one of each, then you're set to go. If you have more, then you have a big problem on your hands. And people around you don't, people that don't know anything about cast iron, they think you're crazy by all these cast irons. I've been enjoying it so much lately, though.
So do you mostly cook outside with your cast iron or inside?
I do it mostly inside. I have a glass stovetop. A lot of people think you can't do cast iron on a stovetop. I myself, that's all I have. That's all I've cooked on. And it's very safe to cook on a glass stovetop. There's nothing to it. I use it all the time, and I use the oven as well. In a about 3 weeks, I'm going camping in Nevada. I have a small property in northern Nevada. It's up in the mountains. I will be taking some of my items with me. I'm thinking maybe the Dutch oven, one of them that I have, the traditional one, not the enamel one, because enamel is not good for open fires to cook with. I'm taking one of the traditional ones and also maybe a couple of skillets and do the open fire cooking with gas. So that'll be my first time.
Oh, that's your first time. Yeah, you have to let us know how it turns out.
Honestly, I will, yeah, because I think I'm going to make some bread in Dutch oven for the first time and do a lot of cooking with a skillet as well.
Maybe you can make a cake.
Cake. I'm not into cakes, honestly. I don't think I've ever made a cake in my life. I never have. I've cooked some desserts and stuff, but I'm not into the cakes and things like that. I like more like meat and dough and things, you know, the easier stuff, not the cake ones. Cake, I think they take longer and they need more patience than the rest of cooking. I love cooking. Cooking, you have to love it or you don't. If you don't like it, then you eat fast food all the time. If you like cooking, then it's a joy. I don't eat out much. Occasionally I do, but I really enjoy cooking my own meals for the family and friends. My friends love me. It's for the food, you know. They don't like anything about me except the food I make.
They love you for your food.
They love me for my food. They use me, actually. One of the things I make really is a falafel. Falafel is Eastern Mediterranean food. It's been in the making for maybe hundreds of years. And it's easy to make, but it takes time to make it. And it takes skills, really, to make it right. You can't just you in restaurants and think it's good. You have to go to a specialty restaurant to really enjoy it. If not, and it's all vegan too. It doesn't have any meat in it. It's mostly chickpeas, garbanzos, and onion and some parsley and cilantro as well. You mix them all up and add the spices, and you deep form the falafel into like small balls and deep fry. Then you eat them with pita bread. And that's something it took me 3 years to learn it on my own. I never asked anyone how to make it. I just figured it out on my own, and it took me 3 years to really do it right. And now people ask me, how do you do it? I just don't tell them.
There you go.
I tell them to eat it. I tell them to eat it and go home.
There you go.
This is my secret, you know. I don't tell anyone. Just, do you like it? Yeah, we love it, man. Some of my friends are doctors, you know. They leave their patients when I tell them I'm making falafel. They come at night running, you know, from like 50 miles away.
They come
dressed in their hospital clothing, you know. So, we just left the patients to die, you know.
That's like my seasoning I've got. I make my own seasoning. I call it SPGC. Well, I gave away the first four clues, you know, salt, pepper, garlic, and Cajun. But I don't give away the other three ingredients. I got seven ingredients in that thing, but, you know, I'm not going to give all that away.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mix my own seasoning, too, especially with the falafel. I do my own, and I give them, they ask me, what do you have in there? I give them a couple of the things in there. And I keep the rest to myself, not even my family members how they make it. So I just make it and I tell them, okay, this is what I put in it. But I don't tell them the whole thing. Because, you know, I don't know.
So
I think with chefs, we tend to be selfish at times, you know, in a way.
Right.
But it's something that's within us. Like James said, you know, he creates his own seasoning combination, you know. And most of us do, and I do. And people ask me, what do you have in there? I give them a few hints, but I don't tell them exactly how it's made. So I'm not afraid of competition, but it is what it is. It's something that when you love to do something, and it becomes part of it's your creation, and we hesitate sharing everything with people, you know, even if they were the best friends or family members. It's just we keep it to ourselves at times, you know. If I'm writing a book,
a little secret.
Yeah, exactly. If I'm writing a book, maybe I would put everything in there, but I'll probably skip something too, you know.
Yeah, people are paying for the book, so you wouldn't mind, you know, giving that out. But you still, you'd almost want to copyright on it or something, so they couldn't reuse it and duplicate it. So,
yeah.
But I, you know, what I got in there, I mean, everybody uses salt, pepper, and garlic, and they're making their own seasoning, but I've got some other stuff in there that other people, they'll just never know. But if I ever decide to make it and sell it, I want everybody out there already have that recipe. Why should they buy it if they can make it? So that's the reason why I don't care about everything that's in it.
Actually, the main ingredient in to make the food taste good, it really is. There's one secret that is the main ingredient to producing good food, and that's love. You have to love what you're doing. You can get three different chefs and give them the same recipe to make specific type of meal, and each one comes out differently. They don't come out the same. Seriously, you know. It comes close to it. It looks the same. Yeah, you have to add love to it. I mean, I've been to many, many parties. Some of the women here in Phoenix are the best chefs, you know, Middle Eastern people, Lebanese and what have you, you know. And they spend a lot of time on making food, you know, and it looks good, but it doesn't taste good, you know, like, you know, somebody else would make it. You know, I would make it. I don't really, I mean, enjoy other people's cooking, you know. I enjoy mine, maybe because I'm used to making my own, you know.
Right.
Even my kids, when they eat out at their friend's house, they say, Dad,
my friend's mom, you know, she spent all the whole day cooking, but her food doesn't taste the same like yours. We love the way you cook. I'm like, yeah, you're right. I am the best. So I'm like, yeah, I'm your mom too. Now, actually, to be honest with you, today, my son is bringing his friends to the house, so I'm going to be cooking for, like, I don't know how many people coming, maybe 5, maybe 10, maybe 50, I have no idea. He told me, he keeps telling his friends, you know, about my cooking stuff, and he brags about how I'm cooking. So he decided to invite his friends, you know, without asking me first. He said, my friends are coming Sunday for dinner, you got to cook for them. I said, I am? Really? I said, okay, what do they want to eat? He said, they want to eat falafels. I haven't even started on making the falafels yet. That takes like 24 hours to make it, you know. So I'm for a surprise here today. I hope they don't show up. I hope they change their mind and they go to the Flagstaff or Sedona up the mountains and enjoy the cool weather up there. But I haven't heard from him. I'm going to ask him, are you guys coming? How many people? And things like that. So I have to get going, you know, as soon as we hang up.
When you get up there in the mountains and start cooking on that cast iron, you ain't going to have to worry about the bears attacking you. You're going to have to worry about other people attacking you for your food.
That's right, yeah, exactly. But that's going to be my first time, actually. I'm going the first weekend of June. I'm going to be driving 750 miles to get to the property. It's about 12 hours of driving all day. And then I'm going to do some really good gas oven cooking up there. Gotta be fun, but I'm worried about today. These guys are coming and they're gonna eat my food, and I'm not quite ready yet.
Patella, we appreciate you being on the show and talking about all these different kind of foods and stuff that you do, and we know that you enjoy doing that for yourself and others. And maybe we hope to have you back here again after you go up into the mountains. We really appreciate you being on here. And Linda, you got any final words there you want to say to him?
Well, I sure thank you for coming on our podcast, and we appreciate it. So,
yeah, as always, thank you, James. Thank you, Linda, for hosting me, for asking me to come on the show, and I look forward to talking to you again and hopefully to seeing you in person and meeting you sometime
right.
In the future.
Okay. Well, we're going to let it go with that. And until next week, cook with heat. We'll talk to you guys later. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Goodbye.